Hallelujah. Turn with me this morning to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Last week we began to look at the challenge in God's word to faint not, to don't quit, don't give up, press on. We read some verses from Romans and from the Psalms. Don't faint, but confess this I know, for God is with me. Hallelujah. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases their strength. Isaiah chapter 40. Psalm 27 and 1. The Lord is the strength of my life. God wants us to be a people who are overcoming, not overcome. Last week we looked at the scriptures from Luke chapter 18 about the lady and the unrighteous judge, how Jesus told that story to illustrate that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Praise the Lord. Always to pray, to be about the Lord's work. And we said there that the Greek word that's translated faint there in the Authorized Bible means to cave in under pressure, to implode. Amen. We want the church to explode, not to implode. Praise the Lord. And that's what the word means. Literally, don't cave in. Don't give in. What a wonderful promise we have that we have access to the throne of grace. And all those prayer promises in the scripture. That we need to come before the Lord in prayer. To seek him together and individually. To seek God through prayer. And he promises to answer. We said that the Amplified Bible renders that verse, not to faint, as don't become a coward, faint, lose heart, and give up. And we said that the scripture does talk about those, the tribe of Ephraim, who in the day of battle turn tail and ran. And it's recorded in scripture. What a sad epitaph that is for the tribe of Ephraim, that it's recorded in the scripture that they turned back in the day of battle, and that's in God's word forevermore. I would be very sad if I was a member of the tribe of Ephraim and that was written over my family, that when God required us to fight, we turned and we ran. And so there are battles to be fought in prayer. And Jesus said, don't give up. Keep on knocking. Keep on knocking. Even if at first it seems you don't get an answer, keep on knocking. Because there in Luke's gospel, he says, the Father will speedily answer the cries of the church. So faint not in prayer. Now our next topic this morning is faint not in Christian service. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. But we'll back up and we'll read from verse 8 to put it into context. Ephesians 2 and 8, for it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from ourselves, it is the gift of God. You know, it hit me some months ago, and I'm not sure if I shared it or not, that when we're praying for people to be saved, we need to pray that God will give them the faith to believe. Amen. Because without that initial gift, that impartation of faith from God, how can anybody believe that the virgin was with child and gave birth? You can't believe it. It doesn't make sense to the human mind. It doesn't make sense medically. It doesn't make sense scientifically. And so there has to be an impartation of faith from God first before somebody can believe. And so we need to start praying for people. Lord, give them the gift of faith so that their eyes can be opened and their understanding can be opened and they can believe. And that's what it's saying there. We've been saved by the grace of God. We didn't deserve it. But it was through faith, and that wasn't our own faith. It was an impartation of faith that came from God to our hearts to enable us to believe in his saving grace. Glory to God. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So immediately we see there that we cannot work our way into salvation. Doesn't matter how many old ladies we help across the road. Doesn't matter how good a Boy Scout we were. Amen. Doesn't matter about how much we give to charity or how much we do. That is never going to be enough to see us into heaven. We are not saved by our works. We are saved by faith in the Son of God. But verse 10 says, "For we are God's workmanship." Wow. We don't always feel that way. We had an interview on Friday evening. I was at Wycliffe Church with the Youth for Christ team. We were interviewing a young lady for the job of mentoring teenage girls in our high schools. And it seems hard to believe in this day and age that we live, but it is the truth that one of the most problematic things that teenage girls suffer from is lack of self-esteem. I'm not sure about the boys, I don't know. But certainly amongst the girls, it seems lack of self-esteem. They think they're worthless, they're no good, nobody wants them, nobody loves them, nobody cares about them. And so it's got to the point now where the schools are asking Youth for Christ to send in mentors to work with some of these girls to lift their self-esteem. And we were interviewing a young lady called Anna on Friday night. She seems very, very capable. I think that probably she will be given the job and she'll be working in the high schools in Warrington, specifically with groups of teenage girls with self-esteem issues. And when you read that verse there, verse 10, "For we are God's workmanship." Hallelujah. Get up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, "I am God's workmanship." Amen. That lifts the self-esteem, doesn't it? When we begin to realize that, hey, this is what God is doing. Amen. Anything good that's going on here, this has come from God. I am God's workmanship. God is working on my life. God has got his hammer and chisel out, and he's chipping off the bits that he doesn't want, and he's smoothing off the bits that he does want, and he's shaping me into the image of his Son. Praise the Lord. We are the workmanship of Christ. Now that lifts anybody's self-esteem. You know, when you think about that, God is working on me. Amen. I'm his workmanship. Hey, look at me. I'm his workmanship. And we were created for something. It goes on. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Hallelujah. So not only is God working on our life and making us more like Jesus, he's also predestined good works for you and I to be doing for him. And so we can look at ourselves in the mirror next morning and say, "I am the workman of God. I am here to do a job for Jesus. My life is not pointless. My existence is not an accident. I have been called before time began to do the works of Christ." Hallelujah. Now that is a good feeling. Amen. I have been called to do the works of Christ. God has a plan for me. Works that I can do for him. Works that only I can do for him. Unique. The uniqueness of the human being before Almighty God. And so God has got works prepared for us to do. But as in every other area of our Christian life and experience, God gives us the choice. to do or not to do? That is the question. Amen. Will we embrace the works of the Lord? Will we do the works that he's predestined for us to do? Or will we not? The choice is ours. God can't force us. He won't force us. He made us uniquely individual with a mind and a will of our own to say yes or to say no to God. To do or not to do, that is the question that we face this morning. Am I going to embrace the things that God has planned for me? And we believe, and it seems to be the way God is taking us as a fellowship this morning, that there are people in our congregation here with latent gifts and talents that are not being used to the full at this time. And we're wanting to see God begin to move in people's hearts and lives to bring these gifts to the fore, to the front, so that the body can be blessed by them. Hallelujah. And so it may be over the next 6-12 months that somebody might challenge you over some area of service and say, can you do this? And then you have the choice to do or not to do. Shakespeare said, to be or not to be. To be all we can be or not to be all we can be. That's the question. Amen. It's the question this morning that we face every day. And possibly even more so over these next months, we'll face that question. Do I want to do the things that God has called me to do? Go back to Galatians. It's the book before Ephesians. And chapter 6. Ooh, I've just seen verse 6 there, so I'm going to read it for you. Praise the Lord. Okay. I wasn't going to read this, but I like that. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. I'll wait at the door on the way out. Glory to God. Okay. Verse 7 is where I really wanted to read from. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. What does it say in the Authorized? Faint. Amen. We've got to press on. Now is not a time for giving up, for going back. Now is a time for moving on. And if Caleb at 80 years old could look at the mountain and say, Joshua, give me this mountain, then there is no retirement in the kingdom of God. Amen. We might let you slow down a bit, and we might not make you dig the ground and go on the roof, but there is no retirement in the work of the Lord. Hallelujah. We just change. Frank and I were talking earlier this morning about how the elderly in the Lord, the real elders in the Lord, need to be passing on wisdom and knowledge and encouragement to those who are younger in the Lord, and how the older need to be the examples for the younger. And so there's no quitting in this. Hallelujah. There's no becoming weary and getting to 65 and sitting back and saying, well, that's it, I've done my lot. Doesn't work that way. Not in the Lord. Might do in the world's terms. Oh, all this ageism, you get past 45, they won't employ you, will they? But it doesn't work that in the kingdom. In the kingdom, we go until we die. Until we see him, we're called to be doing his works. And it goes on there in verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And the promise there is that if we continue to do the things that we know God has called us to do, and we don't faint and we don't drop by the wayside, and we don't let the enemy snatch that promise, that word out of our hearts, and we don't get discouraged, and we don't end up comatose, because that's what, you know, if you take faint to its ultimate conclusion, it means you're flat out, doesn't it? Comatose. And we don't end up flat out on our backs, just, you know, with everything overwhelming us. If we continue at the right time, at the proper time, in God's time, we will reap. Hallelujah. That's the promise of God. God, as we said last week, can't break his word. His word is absolute. His word is immutable. It cannot be changed. It cannot be bent. It cannot be moved around to suit our circumstances. He said it, he'll do it. And so if we don't quit, if we continue to do the things that God has called us to do, and we embrace the new things, because these are works that are preordained. And so that tells me that every time I step out, every day in Christ, there's something new to do. We can't say, well, this is the work. This is the first work. Amen. Say to yourself this morning, I am doing the first work. But tomorrow I might have to do another work, and the day after that I might be doing something different again. Amen. You see, these are works, not a work. So we never actually arrive until we see him. Amen. God has a way of changing direction in life, doesn't he? I was speaking to somebody about this the other day. I can't think who it was now, but I was talking to somebody about this, how, you know, we start and we think, oh, yes, this is what God has called me to do, and then we'll do that for a while, maybe for a few years, and then suddenly God says, ah, okay, you've been faithful in the small things. Now, come on, let's move up a little here. You know, you've used your one talent, now let's try the five. And when we prove to be faithful in using those things, and God has established his word in our hearts in those things, then he moves us on again. And it's from one level of glory to another. That's the way God works in our hearts. When he sees us faithful in the small things, he says, now I'll make you faithful in the big things. And so don't quit. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we faint not. If we don't give up. Now tomorrow you'll have opportunity. All through this week you'll have opportunities. Through the rest of your life, God has already got those works marked out for you. There is a roadmap. I've got to meet some AOG brothers tomorrow in Clitheroe. So I got the road maps out. And I say, I don't trust my sat-nav. Technology's good, but it's not that good. And so I got the road map out yesterday afternoon, and I mapped out the route to Clitheroe. I've never been to Clitheroe before. And I looked, and I can see that there is a road there, and a road there, and I wrote down the numbers, and now I have a route to get to my destination. And God has a route for every single one of us that is already mapped out. Amen. It's already mapped out. And we just have to get on the path, get on the route, and follow the route that God has already preordained, pre-sorted for you and I. And stick on it. Jesus said there's a narrow way and a broad way. Many are on the broad way that leads to destruction, but few there are that find the narrow way. And we need to find God's way for each one of us. Find his route map, find his road map. He knows the route that he wants your life to take. And we have to just say amen and embrace that. Amen, Lord. I embrace that. I want to do your works, to do exactly what you are calling me to do. And so we'll reap if we faint not. The Living Bible puts it this way. After a while, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't get discouraged and give up. The Amplified Bible says, if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. I wonder how many times we've missed out on the harvest because we only got halfway to the destination. Amen. Think about that. How many times we've missed out on the blessing of God, all of us. How many times we've not quite made it. Maybe we got 9/10 of the way, but we didn't make it to the point of reaping. How sad is that? You know, how sad if the farmer comes along in the spring and sows his seed into the field and he's praying for rain and the rain comes and he watches that seed grow and grow and grow and his anticipation is growing. Oh, come on, October. Come on, October. And he can see that seed growing in the fields, and first it's the green shoots, and then he can see the corn or the ears of wheat beginning to form. And the sun's shining and the rain falls at its time, and that crop is growing and growing, and he thinks this is fantastic. When autumn comes, I'm going to be a rich man. But he gets to the beginning of September, and he begins to think, oh, I can't be bothered. Look at all that out there. Oh, it's going to take me days to get that in. All that work. I can't be bothered. And so he sits down to watch Sky TV. And the crop rots in the field. And he never reaps what he sowed. Because he only went 3/4 of the way. Amen. Challenging, isn't it? Because that's what the verse says. We will reap if we do not faint. So we can be sowing into the work of God, but getting discouraged along the way and never receiving the benefits of what we've sown. Because we didn't press on until the end. You know, if we lose consciousness, if we faint, we're not aware of what's going on around us. And if we faint in the Lord, if we give up, it means that we may not even be aware of the blessings that God has got in store for us and the things that God wants to do in our lives. We lose confidence. We lose consciousness. We end up flat on our backs, knocked out. And there's no awareness there of what God wants to do. Somebody this morning, maybe us all as a fellowship, we may be on the verge of a great awakening, a great spiritual harvest. Something wonderful may be just around the corner. But if we don't press on, we won't reach it. We can say, well, we've come so far and it's good. And it's, you know, we had a good time this morning, didn't we? Praise the Lord. We had a good time last week. And we can say, oh, yes, praise the Lord, this is good. We like this, we'll camp here. We'll stop here, plant the flag. Put the tents up. Get the cooking on. This is nice. We'll stay here. When if we'd pressed on over that next hill, we would have seen the most incredible vista and place to be. But we missed it because we camped too early. Amen. And so the challenge for us all this morning is not to put our feet down until we've reaped the blessings of God. Not to get into our comfort zone until we've reaped the blessings that God has got in store. I wonder how much blessing there is in heaven that remains unclaimed. You know, apparently there are millions of pounds in bank accounts that are never claimed. Because people either forget they're there, or they just can't be bothered. There's some, you know, something's happened. They've moved house. They've lost contact. They've forgotten their account number. There are millions of pounds floating around in banks that people don't claim. And, of course, they end up after so many years belonging to the bank. And you wonder this morning how much blessing there is in heaven that remains unclaimed by the church because we got knocked out along the way sometime. We didn't press on until the point. I don't know, it's a silly illustration, but you know that if you want cash out of that machine, you've got to go through a process. You've got to put your card in, you've got to type the PIN number, and you've got to wait a few seconds while the machine decides it's you and not some imposter. And then you've got to wait there while it counts your money, and finally it spits it out. And you pick your money up, put it in your wallet, and you take your receipt, and off you go, and not forgetting your card, of course. But what happens if, you know, I'll give you a better illustration. On Tuesday morning, my car was in at Princess Street Motors. That's £10 for that plug, Mike. Next time I see you, hallelujah. For an MOT. And I didn't expect it to pass. It's done two trips to Romania since it was last MOT. It's done a lot of miles, and I thought, no, it's never going to pass. And when I went back there on Tuesday, it had passed. I was astounded. I thought, this is incredible. I mean, it's got to have some work done on it before the next trip, but it did actually pass. And I was so overjoyed with it passing that I picked up the certificate, paid me money, and I was walking back to church. And I was halfway down the road here, and Mike comes flying out the garage and says, "Don't forget your car." It was a strange week last week. You know, I was so delighted that the thing, I forgot the car. I had to go running back to get. But you know, how often it is in things of God that we get so far, but we don't press through. And we forget the blessings that God has got in store for those who love him. Amen. The Bible says that eye has not seen and our minds have not comprehended the things that God has got in store for those who love him. God has got good things in store for you and I, and we just have to press on until we make those things our own. Don't leave them in heaven's cash machine. Don't just punch three digits in and forget the last one. Or don't put four in and forget to pick the money out. You see, we have to go through. We have to press through the process until we're ready to reap. Because at the proper time, we will. 1 Corinthians, we'll wrap up with this morning. Chapter 15, verse 58, right at the end of the chapter. It's a great verse, this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Praise the Lord. When we work for Jesus, we can expect a reward. The workman is worthy of his hire. That's the Bible. That's scriptural. The workman is worthy of his hire. Do not muzzle the ox while treading out the corn. He who labors in the gospel is entitled to take his living from the gospel. Amen. It's all scriptural. There is a reward. When we work for God, there is a reward. And I believe that the rewards of God are both in this life and the next. Amen. Some people are looking for it all in the next life. But I believe that God has got great and precious promises that he wants us to see in this life. As we read the other week, that David said, I'm expecting to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Not just pie in the sky when we die. Amen? And so we have to press on and do the work of the Lord fully, not half-heartedly, but fully, until we see the reward, until we reap the fruits, until God gives us what is ours. Let nothing move you. Elijah was moved by the voice of Jezebel and went on the run. And the very next thing that God said to Elijah was, anoint Elisha in your place. How sad. How sad. Elijah did go on to do more great things for God by the grace of God. But the replacement was already there. And I don't want God to replace me. Amen. I don't want God to have to go looking for a replacement for me. I want to do what I'm called to do until the day I see him. And then I can hear those words, welcome in, you good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Hallelujah. We don't want to get knocked out. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning that your words are true, that we can trust them, that what you say you mean. Lord, what you say you will do. And so we pray, Father, as a fellowship together, Lord, and as individuals before you, we ask that you will strengthen our hearts this morning, strengthen our resolve to go on and to be all that we can be, to do all that needs to be done, Lord, so that you can dole out from heaven those rewards. Father, we know this is your will because it's your word. We've read it this morning. Lord, it's your will that we don't faint. We don't quit, we don't give up. Lord, that we move on to new things, new works that you have already laid in front of us to do. Help us to grasp those works. Help us to be all that we can be. And Father, as we break from one another's presence this morning, we ask that you'll go with us, be before us, behind us, overshadow us. Keep us from all ills, all attacks of the enemy. Protect us. Heal our sicknesses. Strengthen our bodies. Touch our minds. Renew our spirits. Father, make us fit vessels for your service, because we give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.